You guys good?
Yes.
All right. One of you is. Okay. Hey, church, for a while now, we've been studying and walking through the book of Acts together, verse by verse. It's so good to be able to do that so that we don't miss anything that God has to teach us. We've seen Jesus, his resurrection, right? And then he commissions the church. He gives the mission to Christians to go and be his witnesses throughout the world. We've seen the start and the growth of the church. We saw the first missionary journey. We've seen God do so much in and through the church and through Christ followers to spread the gospel and to see more and more people saved. And I love the example that we have from these Christ followers, from the church in Acts. It's the example of complete and prayerful dependency on God. And I tell you one thing that God is teaching me right now is that I can't, but he can, right? Right? They realize that Jesus is in charge. He is the head. He is the one who does things in and through them. And then last week, we wrapped up our first missionary journey of Barnabas and Paul. And then we saw a clear statement on salvation, church. Not that we bring anything to the table, but we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. But for the next few weeks, we're going to take a short break from Acts as we look at a series titled, Because He First. This is a series, I'm just telling you, man, I've been looking forward to this study for a while. And for at least the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at God's love for us, his forgiveness to us, and how he has served us. We're going to look at how we can see and experience all of those things from Christ. And then we're going to see how we are then to go and love and forgive and serve others. We want to see and experience his life, right, in those areas and then reflect his life. In other words, church, the more time we spend with the Lord, his life, his love, his forgiveness, his service will pour into us. And then as he fills us, his life will pour out of ours. It'll overflow out of our life. Church, for us to be able to love and serve and forgive, we must first receive and experience it from him. This week, we're going to begin by looking at God's love for us. And to do that, we're going to spend much of our time in 1 John chapter 4. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. If you need a Bible, we've got some at the back table back there. They are yours. Please take those with you. But 1 John chapter 4, if you're not familiar, 1 John is near the end of the Bible, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. We're going to look at other passages today as well. But what we see here in 1 John is such an amazing picture of God's love for us. And then we get to see the instruction and the command on how we are to love others. And so what I'd like for us to do is to read the whole passage, but then we're going to spend time looking at some key verses about his love and how we are to love others. Church, would you guys stand with me to honor God in the reading of his word? You guys follow along. The words will be on the screen as well. But 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Here's what God's word says. John begins by saying, Beloved, so he's talking to Christ followers. He's talking to the family of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. But this, the love of God, was manifested, it was revealed in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment because as he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be in charge. We pray, God, that our minds would be focused, our hearts would be focused, our eyes and our ears would be focused on you and what you have to say. God, I pray, Lord, that everything that comes from my mouth would glorify you. I pray, God, that as we look at the Word of God, we would understand God's love for us. We would experience it. God, I just want to pray over our church now. We've got some people that are just struggling in certain areas. We know we've got people that are out sick today. We've got people that are struggling emotionally and medically and different things going on in life, God. But we want to pray, Lord, today that all of us would experience your love. God, I pray, Lord, you're glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we read through this passage, I think we can see there's one dominant theme. It's love. We just read 15 verses, and in those 15 verses, we see the word love 27 times. And in these 27 times, we saw that God is love. We saw how God loves us. We saw how we are then to love others. But before we go any further and dive deeper into our text, I'd love for us to take the time to see what kind of love this is. Be a little bit different than the way we normally do things. Normally, we open up a text and read right through it and study it. But we're going to start out with a little word study this morning. It's important for us to understand the meaning of love as John is using it here. What kind of love is this? What is the definition? What does this kind of love look like? John says in verse 7, he says, "For love is from God." He says in verse 8 that God is in fact love. That's who he is, right? For God is love. Verse 9, "By this the love of God was manifested. It was revealed. It was made known in us." And in verse 10, we see that God loved us first with this love. And so as we study this morning, we're going to see what kind of love this is. We'll see how God loves us and how we can love others. So let's think about this. The word love, what is it? What does it mean? Let's have a moment of honesty, church, right? Our English language, the word love has been kind of hijacked, right? It's a word that has lost a lot of its weight because we say that we love all sorts of things. I say things like, man, I love, don't hate me, watching the Chiefs, baby, okay? I love the Royals. You know I love the Royals because they're terrible right now. I love steak. I love barbecue. I love coffee. And all God's people said, the rest of you need Jesus, man. I love being in nature. And then we use love relationally. We think about friendships. I didn't tell Charles, me and Charles are twinning today, right? Man, Charles and I pick on each other a lot, but man, I love Charles. I love the friendship. I love y'all too. I'm just picking on Charles, right? But I love Charles. I love the friendship that we have. I love our partnership in ministry. And then I say things like, I love my wife. I love my family. I love my kiddos. And so we use this word in many different ways. When we say that we love Milky Way, right, it should not be the same kind of love we have for our wives. Man, are you getting that today? And so the context is important. It helps us know what kind of love we're talking about. We basically have one word that we use a lot for love. But here in 1 John, this was written in the Greek language. And the Greek language, maybe they were a little bit smarter than us when it comes to words, but they mainly had four different words. You can look it up and people will say maybe they had six words or they had eight, but there were four common words they used for love. Here's one of them. It's the word phileo. Or phileia, right? We think about the Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? So it's a word they use to describe that someone had have a love for a dear friend. It's a brotherly love. You think about it was a term that was in the military. Think about the military. You have a brotherly love for them. It's a warm affection love. It could also mean that you have a love toward a thing, like coffee, right? Maybe you have an attachment to something. I love Kansas City. I spent 30 years of my life in Kansas City. Like you just, you love, somebody escort him out, please. But you have a love for something. You have an attachment to it. But this kind of love was also used to describe a feeling or emotion. Then they also had the word storge. This is a familial love. Storge is a word that you would say, man, I just love my family. Right? It's a word that you can only use for, I love my dad, I love my mom, my sister, my cousins, my grandparents. And then there's the word eros, right? This is where we get our word erotic. This is a romantic or emotionally driven love. It is a sensual love. It's what we often see in or in our movies or read about in our books. Men and women, let me just lay it out for you. What you read in those romance novels, that's not the kind of love we want. Then we get to the fourth word for the kind of love we want. This, in the Greek language, is the word that we see here in 1 John chapter 4, and it's the word agape. Say that with me, church. Agape. This is often defined as an unconditional or sacrificial love. It's a love that desires the good for another. This is a love that when we love someone with agape love, we're loving them as an act of the will. Meaning this, love is a choice to love someone. It's a choice to love someone in this unconditional and sacrificial way. It's a choice to love someone in a way that will be good for them, even if it's not for you. And the passage that we just read, all 27 times that we see the word love is agape. Every single time. It's the love that God has for you. It's the love that we're to have for others. It's a love that desires the best for you and for others. And it's a love that is always sacrificial and unconditional. And so when we read in verse 7, beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. When we read verse 19, we love, we agape, because he first loved, agape'd us. Before we move on, I want to give us really three simple statements. This is the first part of your sermon notes. If you got your bulletin, it's on the back. But I want to give us a few statements to write down about what this love is. And the first statement is this, agape love is a choice, not a feeling. It's a choice, not a feeling. When we use the word love, we're often describing a feeling that we get, right, for someone or something, right? You hang out with them, you get the butterflies and you're saying, man, I love you, right? But agape love is not based on a feeling. It's not based on an emotional response. It is a willful decision. I think about marriage and the love that I have for my wife, that we have for each other. Marriage can be hard, church. Jessica and I are two imperfect people living with each other, seeing each other's good and bad every single day. And agape love is her and I choosing to love each other each and every day in this unconditional, sacrificial way. And that leads us to the next one. The second statement is this. Agape love is self-sacrificing, not selfish. It's self-sacrificing, not selfish. To be self-sacrificing means that you give up one's own interest or wishes in order to help another. And so this love is not about what's in it for me. It's the benefit of the person that's being loved. So agape love is a choice, not a feeling. It's self-sacrificing, not selfish. Number three is this. Agape love is unconditional, and it's not earned. Here's what that means. It's not about the person that you love. It's not about loving them because they're lovable. It's not loving them because they deserve it or earned it in some way. It's loving them even when they don't deserve it. It's loving them even when they might not love you back. Sometimes we'll hear people say, man, this person no longer deserves my love. They did this, and so I no longer love them. That's not agape love. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, as we walk through this, we should be very thankful because we do not deserve God's love for us. Agape love means I love you. I want what's best for you. I'm willing to sacrifice for you even when you do this. Church, this is good news. It's good news that God loves you and me with this kind of love, because if it was any of the other three loves that we see in the Greek language, we'd be in big trouble. This love, this self-sacrificing, unconditional love is the kind of love that we see all throughout our text today. The love that Jesus has for you and me this morning is agape love. And we see what this love looks like in action. When we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it'll be up on the screen. You guys don't need to turn there. But it's always important to give context with this passage. I have a lot of, when I do a wedding, everybody wants this read at their wedding, and I always give them a little message about what the context is. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. They were Christians who were dealing with pride, they were dealing with disunity, they were dealing with selfishness, they were arguing over who had the best spiritual gift, they were dealing with not working well with each other, right? So there's disunity there. And Paul in this chapter is basically saying, hey, church, he says, hey, you got good doctrine, like what you're learning is good, what you're studying is good, what you're preaching is good, you're doing good ministry, right? You're using your spiritual gifts, but love is absent from you. And so Paul is saying, y'all have to love one another with this agape love. And he goes on to describe what this love looks like. This is such a rich text for us. It doesn't just tell us, right, what love is. I mean, that we need to love, but what it looks like. It shows us how we do it. And he writes this in verse 4. He says, love is patient. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I think we just stop right there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly or rude. It does not seek its own interest. It is not provoked. It's not irritable. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Can we repeat that one, church? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails, church. When we think about this, this is the love that God has for you. And so we're grateful for that. But when we think about this passage and how we love others, we probably see one or two areas where we struggle. Amen, church? Just me? Okay. But this is the love, the agape love that we see in 1 John. This is what agape love is all the time, and not only when the other person deserves it. His love for you and me, church, never fails, even when we do. So now that we've laid some foundational truth, did a little bit of word study about this kind of love that God has for us, let's look back to our text in 1 John chapter 4. And I want us to see a few important truths about love. Look at our text with me. I want us to begin by looking at verse 9, and here's what John writes. He says, by this love, by this agape of God, by this, the love of God was manifested in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live. That phrase right there at the end is important. He sends his Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him, through Jesus. The first truth that you see next on your notes about agape love is this. God loves the world, and God loves you with an agape love. God loves the world. And God loves you with an agape love. One of the things that most Christians and pastors and doctors and sociologists and psychologists agree on is this. And I list all of those because there's hardly ever a time when they all agree on one thing. Most of those believe that each and every person in this world has a desire to be loved and to belong. A popular quote in the psychology world is this: the need to be loved is one of our most basic and fundamental needs. Meaning, no matter where you go, in every people group and in every person, there is this longing and a need to be loved and accepted. And the way that we find love and acceptance is through relationships. It's through relationships. There's so much evidence of this in our world, church. There's so much evidence that we desire to be loved and that we want to belong. We see it in places that we gather. We see it in activities that we're involved with and the people that we hang out and the things that we do. We think about social media, right, which is all about connecting. By the way, that's not a real good way to do relationships. I just want you all to know that. Like, it's a faux relationship platform. But when we think about social media for me, I like, anybody else with me like connecting with family, right, or friends? Right, it's been amazing. Like, I get to connect with missionary friends of mine that are over in different parts of the world. Right, family that are still back in KC. But at the end of 2022, the study showed that 4.59 billion people in this world are using social media. One of the biggest industries in the world is online dating. And most people use those sites worldwide. When they were surveyed, it said that they were looking for long-term committed relationships. People have a desire to be loved and to belong. And I believe that we have the answer right here in God's word as to why we desire those things. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see, church, that we were created. Now, when I say we, I mean you. You and I were created We were made. We were designed by our Creator to be loved and to be in a relationship with Him and then with others. Adam and Eve, they were created to walk with God. They were created to be loved by God and to have a relationship with Him and to follow Him. You and I, the same thing. We were made to be in a relationship, to follow, and to be loved by God. But guess what? Sin messed that up, right? Sin messed that relationship up. Our sin has caused there to be division and separation between you and me and God. But one thing that never changed in all of this, no matter all the sin that we've done throughout the whole Bible, we see that God loves the world. He so loves the world. That never changed. And John is about to show us just how we see His love. John tells us in verse 4 how God not only says that He loves us, but shows us. We've probably all been in a relationship where someone says they love you, but you never saw it. We're going to see it. Look at what it says in verse 4. It says, the love of God was manifested in us. The word manifested means it was revealed. It means that God's love was made known in you. In verse 9, God's agape love was made visible for you. That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This word becomes visible, meaning so that we might have eternal life, so we're no longer separated from God. God has made His love for you known. He revealed His love for us and for the world. How? By sending His Son into the world. We've read this in one of the most well-known Bible verses in the world, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved what, church? For God so loved the world. And He continues to show how He loves. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in His Son, Jesus, will not perish. It's an important word, perish. Means to die, right? It means to be separated. Death means to be separated. Are you with me, church? Like, when we die, we're separated from this world, right? When we spiritually die, we're separated from God. You will no longer die, but have eternal life. God revealed His love for you and for the world. He made it known. And we'll come back to verse 9 in a minute, but look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We could add this to our notes above, that God first loved you. He first loved the world. He first loved, church. You didn't come up with love. I didn't come up with it, right? God first loved. And we can see here that it's not about us earning it or deserving it. God did not wait, church, until you and I were lovable. He didn't wait until you deserved it. He didn't wait until you did something to earn it. He loved you. He loved the world before you and I even knew we needed to be loved. He showed His love for us in many different ways. He made us in His own image, church. He made us to have relationship with Him. He breathes His life into our lungs because He loved us. He showed His love for us by knowing us before we were in the womb. He showed His love for us by taking the time to knit you and I together in the womb. And then coming back to verse 9, we see the hugest of how God demonstrated His love for us. I know hugest isn't a word, but it made the point. And we also see the next truth about His agape love, and it's this. God loves the world. He loves you with an agape love. And God sent Jesus on a mission to reveal His love. How did God reveal His love for us according to verse 9? How do we know that He loves the world? Because God sent Jesus on a mission to reveal that love. Verse 9 says this, by this the love of God was manifested in us. His love for us was made known. It was revealed that God had sent. More word study. The word has sent, that phrase has sent, it means to be sent to an appointed place for a reason. In the Greek language, when they use that phrase has sent, it means that it was a mission. You're being sent to a place for a reason. And so the Father sent Jesus into the world on a mission into our lives. And He sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. God shows His love by sending His only begotten Son. Here's a question for you. Does anybody in here use the word begotten on a regular basis? Okay. I didn't either. We don't really use that word. But begotten, it's an important word here, church. The word begotten is speaking of the uniqueness of Christ. To be God the Father's begotten Son, church, it means there is no one else like him. He is set apart. There is only one. And in this context, it speaks of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Let me tell you a little bit about who Jesus is. When we think about Jesus and we think about the uniqueness of Jesus, John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word." Church, the Word is Jesus. So I'm going to use the word Jesus there. Is that okay? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Jesus, and apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Church, Jesus didn't just come on the scene and begin his life on Christmas morning. Jesus has always been, and he will always be. He is not a created being. He is the creator. Along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, he is eternal. Eternal life is in him. There are religions out there that teach a different Jesus than what the Bible teaches. Jesus wasn't created as an angel. He wasn't just born on Christmas. He always has been, and he always will be God, church. Colossians 1:16 says, "For everything was created by Jesus in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for him." Jesus is before all things, and by Jesus, all things hold together. Come on, church. Right? He is God the Son. He is the creator. He is over all things. And so God the Father didn't just send a good man to you. God the Father didn't say, "Hey, who's my best angel? Let's do Angels Got Talent here and find out which one's the best, and I'm going to send you to the world." He sent Jesus to us, church, to show us his love. He sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be with us and to give us eternal life. Look at another passage with me, Romans 5:8. It shows us this love. Paul writes here, "But God demonstrates..." He proves his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we were still sinners, we were still rebelling against God, we were still enemies of God, Christ died for our sins, church. Church, God proved his love. He demonstrated his love for you and me, and that he sent Jesus not just to be a good man or to be a good prophet or to be a good teacher or to be a good example. He sent Jesus as the Savior of the world to die for our sins when you and I least deserved it. When we did nothing to earn it, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a different kind of love than we usually experience, isn't it, church? This is agape love, unconditional, sacrificial love. The Father gave his only begotten Son, and God the Son gave his life. This is important for you to know. God chose to love you in this way. Church, let that sit with you for a minute. I'm talking really fast and loud, I get it. I get a little excited about Jesus. That's his love for you. Let that sit with you for a minute. While you and I are still in the process of sinning against a holy God, while you and I are still rebelling against Creator God and not loving God and not walking with God, his love was made known and Jesus came and died for you and me. Why? Because he wanted to forgive us. Because he wants to make us clean. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you. Church, remember, we were made in his image. We were made to be with him, to walk with him, to do life with him, to follow him, and to be loved by him. And when we sinned, there's now this separation between us as sinners and a perfect and holy God. But God says, "I love you." Not in a deserving kind of love, not even in a familial kind of love, but with a agape love. He says, "I'm going to send Jesus, my only begotten Son, to make a way for that separation, for that gap to be gone, and to give us eternal life with him." 1 John 4:10 says, "He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, that's a word we use all the time, propitiation. But here's what that means, church. It means that he came as an offering, as a sacrifice. When Jesus' blood was spilled for you and me on the cross, that offering satisfied God's justice and wrath for our sins. Church, Scripture's clear. We all have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages, what we deserve for our sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He came to pour out his blood for you. We see Christmas and we see the cute little baby in the manger and we see cute little songs, and all that is amazing because that's when God made his way into our world to begin to show us this love story. But Jesus was born to go to the cross. This is agape love that he has for you and me in the world. And remember, we said earlier that each of us, we have a desire to be loved and to belong because we were made to be loved and belong to our Creator. Church, hear me clearly. The world tries to offer us a lot of things to try and fill that desire. They're going to send you porn. They're going to send you bad relationships. Are you with me? Just in the world, right? The brokenness. It sends you money, right? All these jobs, whatever it is. But let me be very clear. Those things will never fill you. And those things will never fill the void of not being loved and belonging. Only Jesus can do that. Hear that this morning, church. It doesn't matter where you are. Only God can fill that. God sent Jesus on a mission to reveal his love for us. And it also shows that God is not distant. He isn't removed. God is not, as we often picture him, an old man with a long white beard and a pretty white robe, right, with a lightning bolt ready to throw it down at you when you mess up. That's not who God is. He's personal. And in your notes, he desires a personal relationship with you. Hear that today, church. The God that created everything, the God that is perfect, the God that you have sinned against, he wants you. He wants a personal relationship with you. His coming on this mission was all about his love for you. He pursued you. He gave his life in our place so that we could have this loving relationship with him. This is agape love for the world and for you and me. His love for us is self-sacrificing. It is unconditional. His love for us is patient and kind. It never fails. It never ends, even when we deserve it to end, church. A few months ago, I was sitting up on Mount Lemmon, and I was having time in the Word, and I was reading through a passage. I think I've shared this with you, but I've read through a passage that I read so many times. I've taught this passage. I've studied this passage, but it never hit me like it did in this moment. So when I say sit in it, here's what I mean. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 9. Listen to this. Listen to these words. Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me. Let's stop for a moment. Think about the perfect love that God the Father has for God the Son, his only begotten Son. That's the perfect love. Amen, church? Right? If we're looking at it and saying, man, I want that. Guess what Jesus says? I have also loved you in that way. And then he says this, church. He says, abide in my love. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and we were talking about this love. And I said, man, I just paused, and I tried to ponder. Like, God, why do you love me like this? God, I don't deserve it. Have you seen my life? I'm a mess. Why do you love me? And I was telling my pastor friend this, and you know what he said to me? He goes, maybe it's none of your business why God chose to love you. He tells you to abide in it. Receive it, church. Embrace it. Remain in his love. This perfect agape love, the same love as the Father has for the Son. Church, that hit me hard, man. I know I'm a man, but I just started crying. I was like, God, no way. There's no greater love than that, church. And here's the thing. I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to deserve it. I just needed to receive it and abide in it and live in it. And then our proper response is to, guess what? Love him back. Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all that you are, every part of who you are, how you think, what you do, everything about you. We're to love God. Is there any other response but to receive and abide in his love and then love him with all we are? This is the love and the belonging that we were craving, church. To be loved in this way and to belong to our Creator. And Jesus made it possible. Jesus came and lived the life you and I could not live. He died in our place. He rose again. He is calling us to receive his love and his sacrifice and his salvation for us. Jesus is calling us to believe in him and place our faith in him. And guess what? When we do, when we call on Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are his church. We are forever loved by him. Just sit with that for a minute. Right, we get this anxiety within our relationships because you're like, man, I hope I didn't mess this relationship up. But Jesus says you can't. In Ephesians 3, Paul shows us his love for the Christians. He says this in his prayer to God for them. This is my prayer for us, church. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all the believers, what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. His love for us, church, let's just be honest, surpasses our understanding and our knowledge. It is unmeasurable. We can measure each other's love because we're human. We cannot measure the love of God. So let me speak some truth into your life this morning. When the enemy, when Satan, when the father of lies is pressing in on you and he's feeding you lies that you are not loved by God, when you're struggling and feeling unloved, just go to God's word to see how much he loves you. Look to the cross, church. That was for you. That was for you. That was for you. That was for me. TV, that was for you. Unconditional love. Receive it. Abide in it. And the last, at least in the last part of our message, look at verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother or sister, he or she is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should have love for his brother also. We love God, church, because he first loved us. Let's just own it. The only reason you can love him back or love others or even love yourself is because he loved you first. But the last truth that we see here is this. God commands, doesn't suggest, he commands us to love others. Guess with what kind of love? Agape. Agape. If we have truly received Christ's love, then we are filled with his love. And we're to let that love pour out, overflow out of our lives into others. Back to Matthew 22, where Jesus was talking about loving God. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. But he doesn't stop there. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? According to God's word, your neighbor is anybody God places in your path. Agape love for others. You know what this means? Because God has loved you, choose to love them. Because God had a sacrificial love for you, love them in a self-sacrificing way and unconditionally. Men, choose to love your wives. You hear me? Are you with me, church? Men, wives, choose to love your husbands in this way. Parents, choose to love your kids in this way. Love your church family in this way. Christ followers, love others with agape love. Man, we keep trying to vote someone into office and political office on whatever level, trying to change the world. This love will change the world, I promise you. Now, here's the tricky part. We can't do that. Not on our own. You and I cannot lovers in this... I didn't say that right. You and I cannot love others. You and I cannot lovers. Okay. We cannot do it on our own in this way, church. That's why John says in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. You and I, for you and I, it is not possible for us to love others when they are unlovable. It is not possible to love others when they have hurt you. It is not possible to love others on our own when they don't deserve it and when they don't love you back. We cannot do this on our own, but we can because we have received God's love first. Here's the last note under love others. Your and I ability, our ability to love others is found in our personal experience of being loved by God. Our ability to love others is found in our personal experience of being loved by God. As we see, as we learn, as we read about and experience God's love for us, when we are filled with his love in our own life, then we can love others like this because it is Jesus' love that is flowing out of us into the life of others. I want to give you an example. Over here, you guys probably have seen this before. I've done this a few different times. My favorite illustration in the world because it shows us such a really cool illustration of God's love for us. This is coffee, by the way, so I'm self-sacrificing here, okay? If you know me, you know I got probably an unhealthy love for coffee, okay? I'm working on that. I say I'm repenting, but I'm not turning from it yet. This is our life, church, without Christ. Dark, broken, sinful. And the more that we let the world pour into us, it will still look like this. And the more that it fills us up, it will start to pour out of us. But when we come to know Jesus, and Jesus tells you how much he loves you, and Jesus tells you why he loves you, and he comes and he makes himself known, his love and his life begin to pour into us. You see the change that his life is making within us. There's no special dye in here. This is just water pouring in to here. And look at what's happening. What is happening is Christ's love is pouring into our life, and then it is spilling out. It's spilling out of our lives so that it can pour into other people. This is just good. Let's keep going, right? And the more the time we spend with God, the more time his love pours into us, and then it pours out of our life. Are you with me, church? This is it. You and I cannot love one another on our own. You and I cannot do this on our own, right? I just went for it. My sister calls that the spit zone. You just got splashed. But church, God created us to be loved and to belong to him, but he also created us to love and to be loved by others and to have real relationship with others. And all of this begins when we see and we experience God's love for us. If he is not filling you in your life with love, you can't love someone else this way. Let his love for you fill you. Spend time with God's people. Spend time in God's word. Spend time worshiping God. Spend time with the Lord and see how much he loves you. I would just encourage you to do this. Just open up part of the Bible and say, God, show me how you love me in this passage. It's there. I promise you. This is God's love letter to you. And as he pours into you, his life will begin to pour out. Love your spouse, love your kids, love your church family, love your neighbors, love your enemies, love Tucson drivers with this kind of love. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I've asked a few people to be in the back that are going to be ready to pray with you. And when we start singing here in just a little bit, if you need to experience God's love for you for the first time, if you need to receive his love and give your life and surrender your life to Jesus today for the first time, this time coming up is for you to respond. If you need someone just to tell you that they love you and pray with you, this is time for you. If you just want to go and pray on your own, this next song is for you. If you're struggling because someone's not loving you, you need to be loved, or maybe you're having a hard time loving others, right? Go and pray. During this song, people are going to be ready and waiting to pray with you in the back when we stand and sing. So you just stand and go back there and pray. It's going to be right behind the Next Steps table. Just go and pray. Church, here's the thing. Where it all starts, if you're sitting here today and you say, you know what? I don't know this Jesus. I've not experienced this love. Guess what? His love is there already. You just need to receive it. You just need to believe it. You just need to have faith in Jesus that he came and died for you and rose again, and he's calling you to follow him. He will forgive you. He will make you clean. He will make you new. He will give you a new life. He will give you a home in heaven because he loves you. The world does not love you. He loves you. And so if you need to trust in Jesus and give him your life, let's go back there and pray. If you're struggling in a certain area, you just need to be loved. Maybe you just want to go pray. Head back there and pray. We're going to sing this last song as soon as I'm, where's the team at? As soon as I'm done praying. I don't know where they went. Maybe I'm singing for you today. You want to join me? No. Let's pray.